Well, it's great to be with you. Everyone all right this morning?
Yeah.
Still awake? Yeah. Okay, it's going to be like that this morning then. It is great to be back with you all. Bring greetings from Essex. It was glorious sunshine this morning as I left, and as I drove through rain coming down here, I'm thinking, oh, great. But it is good to be back with you, being able to share with you here, and then later on up at Claverham. I want to begin this morning, though, with a question, and a slightly different question, maybe. But I wonder, what if we all painted the soles of our feet before we left this morning? I'll just repeat that for you if you've just kind of gone, what? What if we all painted the soles of our feet this morning before we left? Now, I've come prepared. I have a box of tricks. For those with larger feet, I have, your bigger rollers. For those with slightly smaller, bit more delicate, bit softer, something slightly different. I have one that looks a bit old and nasty. Some small brushes. I've got a bit bigger brush if you need to get between your toes, that sort of thing. And then I've got a range of paint here as well. So I've got some yellow, which only yesterday this was going on our toilet wall, so it is very nice. I've got kind of stereotypically blue and pink. I won't let you guess which rooms in our house are painted these colours. Bit of gloss, one coat, nice and easy, if you want that kind of shiny look. I've got some funky silver, okay, if you want something slightly more funky. Just because there's quite a few of you, I've just brought some kind of, you know, bog standard white matte stuff. So we've got that. And then I've got a whole host of the little pot things. So we've got some purple, some green, some orange. Oh yeah, there's variety this morning. And even some blue as well. There you go. So what about it? Shall we kind of crack off our shoes and paint our soles before we head out later on? You see, it struck me that if we did that, it's maybe kind of obvious, but the paint would go with us, wouldn't it? It would show where we're going, where we're going to take ourselves throughout the rest of this day, potentially beyond that, although the paint would obviously slowly dry up. But the concept that people would be able to see where we go, what we do, I wonder whether we'd like that or not. Whether actually this idea, however crazy it is, you know, do we actually want people to see where we take ourselves in our lives? Do we actually want to leave a mark or an imprint as we go to work, as we, you know, go shopping, as we spend time with our friends, as we socialize? Do we actually want to make a difference in this world, or are we actually quite pleased with the fact that we can just kind of tread different places, see different things, and no one really knows where we've come from or where we're going? I'm going to read from the passage at the end of Matthew, a very well-known passage, but I think it just captures this challenge for us as to what is it that we're taking with us? What is it that people are seeing? What difference are we making in the world today? Matthew 28, verses 16 and following. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Struck me reading that passage that there's loads of different things that you can take from it. I keep coming back to this challenge, though, of you know, in one hand, kind of, where were the disciples in this moment? And then kind of, where was Jesus in this moment? And kind of, what does that say to us as we respond to it? As we say, okay, how do we grapple with this? How do we consider the impact that it needs to have on our lives? What do these words say to us today in 2014, if we are, you know, living for Jesus wherever we find ourselves. If we initially look at the disciples in this moment, I mean, if we roll it back a little bit, they were initially called by Jesus. He called them from their boats. He called them from their jobs. He called them from their families. And he called them to follow him. He didn't just say, kind of, sign up to this and then, you know, kind of, you put your name on a bit of paper and that's it. He said, come, follow me. And they traveled. And we read the accounts of how they went to, you know, all manner of different places. It wasn't just a case of come and hang out in my office or in my studio or whatever, in my workshop, and we'll just kind of chat for a few years. Let's get out there. And they traveled from place to place. And the disciples, they would have witnessed numerous different things along the way. They were there when Jesus finished speaking to some 5,000 plus people, and kind of, you know, he says, you know, it's time for dinner, and he says, well, you give them something to eat. They're the ones who Jesus, you know, they brought this packed lunch to me, prayed for it, handed it back to them and said, okay, pass it out. They were the ones who were, you know, had physically seen it feed all these people. They would have been there in the busyness of that crowd when Jesus suddenly says, hold on, someone's touched me. Some power has gone from me. And they're like, kind of, hold on, everyone's touching you because it's just kind of jostling around. And they'd have seen that woman come forward and said, it was me, and I've been healed. They were there when he brought Lazarus back from the dead. It's one thing kind of, you know, vaguely helping, but someone back from the dead. They would have experienced these things with him. And then at the end of this kind of, you know, three-year journey, if you will, they would have entered Jerusalem alongside him. Some of them would have been the ones who had gone off and said, kind of, yeah, this donkey, the master needs it, and brought it, and all that sort of thing. They would have witnessed the people waving their palm branches. And they would have witnessed Jesus going into the temple and turning the tables and saying, you know, kind of, enough is enough. This isn't what this place is meant to be for. And they would have been there in that garden when Jesus was arrested, when he was betrayed by one of their own. And, well, then they scarpered, didn't they? Then they did a runner. But they would have heard of what would have happened. Maybe they, from a distance, spied the hill where Jesus was crucified, thinking, what has happened here? What's gone on? And then 3 days later, they would have been told by the women who, you know, it's seen the empty tomb that, you know, he's alive, you know. It's not quite what we thought it was. He's alive. He's told us to go and meet him at that place. And so they would have then gone to this hill in Galilee, and kind of Jesus commissions them on the back of all of this to go and tell other people. And in my head, I just thought, like, hold on a second. I imagine they'd have, well, their nerves would have probably been all over the place at this moment. Okay, so they're on a hillside. They've not seen Jesus for a few days. The last time they did see him was probably when he was arrested. They've heard these accounts of his death, of, you know, his beating, all that went on. What's he going to say to us? What's he going to do? How's he going to react? Maybe they're thinking, okay, it's time, you know, we just take a bit of a break. Let's go and retreat somewhere. We'll find somewhere we can hole up and, you know, we'll eat kind of some disgusting food, and that's what you do on retreats, isn't it? You know, and we'll hang around and we'll pray, and then after a while we'll get back into this because I think we just need a bit of a break. But Jesus commissions them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And the rest is history. Now, we look at it from a slightly different perspective. Where was Jesus in all of this? What was his view? Again, roll it back. He's called these individuals from their boats, from their jobs, from their families. He's called them to follow him. Come, I'll make you fishers of men. He's had them tagging along behind him as, you know, numerous different things have happened. As he, you know, fed 5,000 people. As he felt the power go from him in the midst of that busy crowd. They were there as he wept over his friend Lazarus and as he brought him back to life. They were there, you know, as he entered Jerusalem, as the crowd were cheering for him, although he knew what was to come. They were there in the garden, and then suddenly they weren't there in the garden. And they were the ones who were kind of, you know, falling asleep. And then he would have been arrested. He was crucified. But again, death could not hold him. And Jesus rose again, and he meets the women, and he says, you know, go and tell my friends. Tell them to meet me. And he goes, and he commissions them. But again, there's this sense of kind of, hold on, would it really have kind of run its course like that? Because, I mean, surely he'd have had enough by that point. Because these guys have just let him down quite a few times. They've not had the whole picture fairly often. You know, they ran when he was arrested. Peter denied him three times. Once you can kind of get away with it as being absent-minded, but after the second and third time, you're really trying to build a case here. You know, they weren't the ones who came to the tomb. It was the women. And again, you kind of think, is this really the bunch of guys you want to invest in? But no, he commissions them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And again, the rest is history. And as I've been reflecting on this passage, thinking kind of, you know, what would it have been like? What view would the disciples have had? And what would Jesus have been thinking? What was his view in all of this? How would he have felt? The emotions and, you know, everything that's going on. But then ultimately, how are we going to respond to this same passage, this same challenge, wherever we find ourselves? What's our view on it all? I don't know if you've ever stood maybe at the back door or front door of a house calling for someone to come in, usually a child, you know. You're yelling at the top of your voice, aware that the neighbours are all peering out of their kind of windows, looking at you, that sort of thing. There's only so many ways you could probably shout Dennis without it, you know, kind of, you know, and you're calling for them to come in, and you're, you know, or maybe they've done something, you could see them somewhere they're not meant to be. You know, they're halfway up a tree that, again, is in the neighbour's garden, and it's half breaking. Jesus calls us not as someone who's cross with us, not as someone who's fed up with us, not as someone who's kind of, come here, you know. He calls us to follow him. He calls us by name. He calls us personally. And I believe Jesus calls each one of us from our boats, from our jobs, from our families, from wherever we find ourselves, to walk in his footsteps, to follow him in our lives. I don't believe he calls us to completely discard everything that's gone before. So the moment you follow Jesus, well, I've suddenly got to move somewhere else. I've suddenly got to disband everyone. I can't know anyone. I can't do anything I've done before. But rather it's about saying, okay, so what is my focus? What is my new purpose in all of this? Created by God in his image. Created to know our Creator. We're created to live in a relationship with him, as friends with him. And that's why Jesus died on that cross. That's why the accounts that we've been reading and remembering over the recent weeks, why they took place. So that it was possible for us to know God again. So that as Jesus hung on that cross, he paid the price for all we've done wrong. So that if I seek his forgiveness and seek to live a different way, then that is something that is before me. That is something that is a possibility in my life. But not just called, I believe we're called to travel. Dennis alluded to the fact that kind of with my ministry, I'm all over the place, going different places. I spent 2 hours at Watford Gap Services on Friday having a meeting, as you do. I'm off to Scarborough this week for a ministry opportunity. The following week will be up in West Brom, going all over the place, travelling, doing lots of different things. But being called to travel doesn't mean you've got to physically get in a car or in a vehicle and go to far-flung places. I believe it means being willing to go wherever we're called, wherever we find ourselves, as we travel to work, as we travel to the shops, as we travel to see our friends, as we travel around our lives, witnessing the numerous different things along the way. The answers to prayer, the provision that can only come from God, the healing that He makes happen. Struck me driving down this morning that it is 20 years ago now when I was in hospital in London and doctors were saying I shouldn't survive, but God healed me. We need to recognize these things that we're witnessing, the guidance that God sets before us. And how are we not just kind of signing up to a club, but saying, okay, I'm going to travel, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to give everything that I can for you. Being in the world, but not of the world. This year, we're involved, as we are annually, as a RISE, in an event in Essex with 500 children called Solid. And this year, the theme is Kingdom Culture, looking at how we actually live, you know, a different way in the world today. I'm wanting to communicate this to the children, what we're going to be doing. Is we're going to be creating kind of as a various set pieces, so like a 6-foot-high TV screen and a 4-foot-high mobile phone and, you know, kind of a massive model of a house and a school to illustrate these are the different places, these are the different things that you do in your life. And as part of our kind of, you know, the session, we're going to actually paint them all with this bright green paint. The idea to say that actually it's not following Jesus. You don't say, oh, well, I'm never going to watch TV again. I'm never going to go out to these places again. I'm never going to engage in these things. But actually, I'm going to bring a difference in these places as I travel, as I live my life. Now, as we run through this, so we're called to travel. I think there's that need to take a slight time out maybe and recognize that we will let Him down, just as the disciples did. None of us are perfect. None of us have it all sewn up. None of us have all the answers. And I think sometimes the disciples can get a bit of a bad deal, really, because they were the first up to bat, really. We follow in their footsteps and can learn from their mistakes and go, oh, kind of obviously we wouldn't have done that. But actually, you know, they were in the thick of it for the first time. And it's saying, how do we recognize that, yes, we will get it wrong. We will mess it up. But we'll need to pick ourselves up, to seek God's forgiveness and keep moving forward for Him. Because thirdly, He's called us to travel and commissioned us to go. It's very easy to read passages in the Bible and kind of go, oh, that's great for then, for back some point in the past. But actually, it doesn't really speak to us today. What's so exciting about this is that this commission that Jesus gives to the disciples, if you actually look at it, it goes on and on and on, because they were commissioned to go out and commission others. Now, that's not the kind of the specific wording, but if you talk about, you know, going to make disciples, part of being a disciple is to follow Jesus and to share Jesus. So they were commissioned to commission, to then commission, to then commission, to then commission, and so on and so on. And there's this challenge, actually, to say, how are we going to pick this up? How are we going to go into all the world? What does that mean for us? Maybe that does mean for you to travel, I don't know, 6,000 miles in that direction. Maybe actually it means being willing to go into the places, even in this town or in this community or where you find yourself, that, well, you obviously wouldn't go to, you know, to be amongst the people that obviously you'd never be there, to go where God calls you, to make disciples, to actually tell people about Jesus. I think in the church, we're very good at doing good things and being really good and having these best intentions. But sometimes we forget that actually we need to tell people about Jesus. There's this great balance that I think we need to strike between, you know, kind of going out and living in the world, but at the same time, actually also, yeah, communicating with words the difference knowing Jesus makes. Sharing God's story, sharing our story, the impact that God's story is having right now with those around us. They're told to baptize them. That public declaration of our faith. I grew up in a Christian family, as many of you will know, and I can't give you a set date when I became a Christian, when I said a prayer or however you want to tell it, and gave my life to Christ, because it's something that happened. But I can tell you that on the 15th of February 1992, I was baptized. And I can look back at that day that I stood up and said, this is what I believe. This is what matters to me. And I want to share this publicly. And then they were challenged to, you know, teach them everything I have commanded you. Recognizing that this is an onward journey. This is an onward adventure. And it's not something that we're meant to keep to ourselves and go, this is great for us, isn't it? Yeah, we can turn up every week and have a lot of fun. And, oh, it's brilliant. But actually, this is for the people who are in budgeons, queuing up now, probably waiting for it to open at 10 o'clock or whatever. It's for the people, and we'll obviously go, well, that's really dodgy, but actually it's for them. It's for the people who are still asleep. The people who are hungover from last night. How are we sharing this? How are we communicating this? How are we living this? How are we able to, in the same way, say, and the rest is history, because we act upon it? As I reflected, I think there are various different choices that we can make this morning. And these aren't an exhaustive list, but I think they're five that maybe fits something of a spectrum that we might fall into. Maybe this morning your response and your choice is, well, that's just rubbish. Okay, you've travelled a long way, Ed, for not a lot of point. And actually, that's really interesting, but it's just, no thanks. Not for me. Maybe this morning it's a case of kind of, okay, well, tell me more. I don't quite get it all. I have a lot of questions. There's some big gaps in this. But I want to try and find out a bit more. I want to have that conversation. Not to say that I'm fully signed up or anything, but I just want to know a bit more. Maybe this morning you've had an encounter. There's that wow moment that I want in. There's something here that I've never experienced before. I've never heard about before in the same way. And I want to know how I can live this out. Maybe as we sit here this morning, we're already a disciple, but we actually need to step up our game. We actually need to own what this means, that this isn't something to keep to ourselves. This is something we need to actually begin to work out. What does this mean for me? How do I live this out? How do I share this? How do I continue to commission others to share the difference knowing Jesus makes? Maybe this morning, you actually, you know, you've got a real craving for more. There's something that sparked within you this morning and you just want to go, I want this. You know, God has set something within me. I want to tell as many as I can about Jesus. I don't know how to or where to go, but there's something burning within you. I love to think what happened next for the disciples. Would it have been that moment to pause? You know, Jesus has just commissioned them and they kind of go, okay, let's just take five a second, right? Okay, what are we gonna do here then? Are we on board? Are we all up for this? You know, maybe they're gonna kind of do that kind of that male thing where you go around and you're slapping on the back to, yeah, let's have some, hug it out, yeah, woo, yeah, it's great, yeah. Maybe there's this level of excitement of like, okay, let's do this, let's get going. We don't know exactly what happened, you know, verse 21. We don't have that. Would have been interesting. We see the ongoing story unfold as we read in Acts and the rest of the New Testament. So what we do know is that they took hold of what Jesus said, that commission, that permission, whatever you want to call it, and they went out. And the soles of their feet were clearly painted as they went. And they sought to make a difference wherever they found themselves. For me, this is a passage that is just, I think it's awesome, because it captures for me both the passion that I have for people to hear about Jesus, but also I believe it sets out that opportunity, that snapshot, if you will, of God's desire to know every single one of us. The challenge is, though, whether we're up for it, whether we're willing to go out from here and make a difference. Because that's what I believe God asks of every one of us. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the love that you demonstrated through your Son, Jesus Christ, for each one of us. I want to thank you that when he died on that cross, it wasn't just for a select few. It wasn't just for those who have the right answers or live in the right place or have done the right things. It was for all of us. Every single one of us can turn to you. And however we choose to respond this morning, Lord, I pray that the things that you have been saying, the things that you have been speaking into our hearts, into our lives, will be the things that we will grasp hold of and we will take from here for your glory alone. Amen. As we continue in worship and response, if anyone wants to come and paint your feet, you're more than welcome, but you do that on your own head because it will go over. But what I would like to suggest is I have a selection of cards. And if you want to, if you're the kind of people, some people find it helpful to kind of do something practical. It's just got an outline of a pair of feet. It just says, call to go, Matthew 18, 16 to 20. And I have a load of fingerprint pads. And you're welcome to come forward and just to fill in a pair of feet and take it with you. As that symbol maybe for you that is helpful, just to remind you, actually this is something that I want to engage with. This is something that I want to take seriously. I want to live out in my life.